Golden Growl was $13 and a half, and he's letting us come for $10.70. Tax, that's tax included, drink, everything. So the buffet is $7.99. And you can't beat that. You can't beat that anywhere. Anywhere for all the food you can eat, salad, dessert, everything. So don't forget that on the 18th. Kids 10 and under are only $5. So plan on that for the 18th. And then our Christmas play will be on the 22nd. And we're leaving to go to Alabama January the 1st for a youth winter camp. Amen. All right, come on, Brother Andy. Give us whatever the Lord give you.
I have this problem.
Too many kids here.
Oh. Well, I'm one.
There you go.
I'd get him up a little bit, sir.
Yeah, we had a little trouble getting here.
We ain't gonna move.
There you go. Is that better?
One of them Baptist box things. I hour one.
All right. Hey.
Yeah, we did take a wrong turn coming in here.
Got lost.
I did take the right turn. 72.
Amen, brother.
Just went straight to the cross turn right.
Look, that mic don't have to be perfect. I mean, we're here as much resonance as we can stand it, can.
Okay, it works.
There you go. Hey, man, it works. All right, go ahead.
And Brother Danny, myself go back a couple of years and got to do a lot of youth meetings. I had played heavy metal guitar and country guitar. One of these days I'll get ready. If I can share what God has done, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. I got saved age 12 at Jacob's Fort Baptist Church. Now, I come from a dysfunctional family, and in fact, my last name is right beside the definition in the Noah Webster. But we were dysfunctional. I come from lost a dad at two, raised at a home where there was alcohol and drugs, and told by the time I was 8 years old I was to be the man of the house. And for an 8 year old, that's a pretty heavy thing to kind of lay on a child. And my mother self medicated herself, turned to alcohol and drugs, and she did at least take us to a Lutheran church. Now, one thing I did learn out of the Lutheran church is how to stand up and sit down a lot. And, of course, I never made it through catechism, so I never had to go through, you know, communion. I did realize until I got older that a lot of them teenagers were going through the communion line there three times, and it was kind of wobbly. To come by, but at 8 years old, you didn't pick that up. We got pinched a lot. But my mother had a real good friend that they went to Jacob's Fort Baptist Church. My second cousin was the pastor there, Jim Fulbright. He's with the Lord now. And they started taking me down there, and I was hearing the gospel. And that's what gets the job done. Amen. And Paul said that. He said, I deliver unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. Was buried and raised the third day. Praise God. And so I didn't know what God had in store for me. And So I was there that night at a revival, and I went to the altar and accepted Christ. I remember coming home that night. My mother was dating an atheist. I come in, I come running in 12 years old. Mom, I got saved. And the atheist said, "From what?" I said, "From hell." Amen. Glory to God. Well, I wasn't discipled, and that's one of the things that I'm a missionary, and I'm very adamant about discipleship. And because he said, go into all nations, you know, teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded thee. So I wasn't discipled. Nobody told me I was to join a local church. Nobody told me that I was supposed to read my Bible. Nobody told me that. So it was just a matter of time. It's kind of like taking a baby, a newborn baby, putting it out in the street and say, "Think for yourself," and that's what happened. So by the time I had, I was already starting to play at 12, 13 years old already, my mother being a chaperone for me, and I was already making money playing country music. I went from there, and I was into the rock scene. I got into that. And the motto in the 70s was sex, drugs, rock and roll. And I was bound and determined I filled all those. Well, that led from there, heavy metal. I went into that. Then it ended up into the occult. Started into that. Now we're talking about tarot card readings and all different things like this. Numerology, and I'm not talking about biblical numerology, but I'm talking about the counterfeit. So I got into all that, and someone happened to hand me, at the age of 20, hand me a book. It was called The Black Arts, and I didn't realize what it was and never opened it up or anything. And I ended up where that never at that point, at the age of 25, someone put a C.I. Scofield, King James, 1611 Bible in my hands, and I started reading it. Now you are clean to the word I have spoken unto you, John 15:6. The Lord started cleaning me up. First thing cleaned up was my mouth. But I was under such conviction, and I always keep in Galatians chapter 6, God is not see, be not mocked. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I was reaping, I was seeing things, and God was dealing with me and convicting me. Now I put away the drugs, the LSD, all this stuff at the age of 25, and all the hard drugs that I was involved in, and I stopped messing with the occultic material and all that. But I still had that book, The Black Arts, and one day I happened to pick it up and open it up, and on the very first page there was a picture of Baphomet, or the goat of Mendez. And I realized what I could have been reading and didn't read. God had spared me from it. I turned to alcohol. I had got up to 3 half-a-gallons a week at the age of 29. I was making good money, $72,000 a year playing, making money. I thought, hey, this is it. I had a couple times where I had possible was fixing to sign on the dotted line with record deals, but it was just like there was a cap there. I didn't know what was about to take place. So at the age of 29, God was dealing with me, and I was reading the Word of God. I kept getting drawn to the Word. I kept getting drawn and drawn, and I was under conviction, and my alcoholism was getting worse. And I turned around and happened to start to listen to 88.1, and I'd sit there and I'd just weep and weep. And my mother, she said, "You need to go to AA, son. You need to go." I said, "No, I need Jesus. That's what I need. I need Jesus. That's all I need." And trailer number 5, Eastern Court, Highway 10. I can take you to the spot just like I can take you to that little white church, Jacob Ford's Baptist Church. Take you to where I knelt. Yep. 1989, I knelt there. I didn't know how to pray, the long prayer. I just said, "Lord,
if you can use this old drunk, I said, here I am.
There went a yay.
Praise God. That was on a Saturday, my Sunday morning. See, I believe in repentance. You know, it's a change of mind, change of heart, change of direction. I believe in repentance. And not a worldly repentance that worketh death. And I turned that morning. I got the wife and the daughter, 12 years old, got them up. And we went to Community Baptist Church. I hadn't been in church since I was 12 years old when I got saved. And God gave me such a hunger for the Word of God. I come back after service and I sit down and I opened up the Bible to the book of Romans, and I took a Norwest dictionary and I began to define every, I went through all 16 chapters and actually defined every word in that book, the book of Romans. We left that before we went to church that night, and I still was reading it. It's like it just drawed me right into the Word did. See, the Word's in me, and I was in the Word now. And I'm sitting there, and I was just amazed by the whole thing, what God was doing. And the pastor came up to shake my hands like I didn't even recognize he was standing there. And I shook his hand, even the service. And about that time, we're sitting back towards the back, me and my deceased wife now, but sitting back in the back, and I got to notice my daughter, 12 years old, sitting beside my sister in the front row. And I seen her head go down. She accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. After I rededicated my life on Saturday, now she's saved. The whole family's saved. And we were having family devotions. And then, God, you know, the thing about it is, a man, if he's got, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you know, a lot of people, I have been accused here recently, say, you talk too much about Jesus. This is at a church. Where else are you supposed to break bread at? Amen. But I break bread at home, too. Amen. And so all my friends, guess what I did? I got to tell you what Jesus done for me. You got to, hey, he took alcohol from me. I got peace in my heart. I got a joy unspeakable. You just wouldn't believe it. And you know what my friends did? Not hang around me. All of a sudden I lost friends, but I got some back. The brethren. I knew I'd pass from death to life because I loved the brother. Any other time, I wouldn't even talk to you. I'd run. Preacher come knocking on the door. Tell him, honey, tell him I'm not here. Now, come on in. And so I didn't know that God was going to call me to preach. But the first year, I started getting gospel tracts. Now, y'all know what tracts are, I'm sure. Amen. And so I started giving tracts out. I was memorizing all the verses on it because, you know, he said to hide his word in your heart that you might not sin against thee. I was memorizing scriptures. I'm hiding scriptures in my heart. And everybody I'd see on the front of that fellowship track league, they would say something pertaining to what I had just memorized the night before. And you can rest assured I'm going to tell you about it. Now, you know, Ronnie Wilcox said one time in Gateway, he told some churches, he said, I would not want to run into Randy Forbright lost. Because I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to corner you. So, and it ended up where that God gave me 30 one-on-one. Oh, I love being in the birthing room. Glory to God. I said, God, give me 60 next year. God, give me 60 next year. The following year, give me 100. Then God showed me I had a calling on my life, and I did not want to do that. I ran. See, you know, you can know. First of all, Ronnie Wilcox looked at me and said this to me. He said, brother, he said, I can tell you whether you call a preacher or not. I said, how? He said, do you like fried chicken? I said, yeah. Can you take up an offering? I said, yeah. He said, well, you're a Baptist preacher right out of the shoe, brother. I said, come on now. He said, well, a preacher that's called or not called would eat a whale to preach. He said, and now one who is called would rather be swallowed by a fish. And I did not. Finally, I throwed in the towel, not knowing that God was going to call me to Nashville, put me through seminary. Only one in the history of the seminary, the double doctor, a master in theology. I had no idea. And God said, now I want you to go.
Lord, send me. I'll go. Africa. Now, God don't call everybody to Africa. Then he sent me to Ghana, Togo, Benin, Germany, London, Cuba, Jamaica, Mexico. And the Lord gave me the privilege and opportunity to preach to 6.2 million at one time. 1.5 million in Ohio and 10 states. And he's going to send me back here pretty soon. Got 3 countries God's going to fix and send me to, so pray for me. But what happened was is that I went from this. I won't do too much of it because of flesh. I like it. I think you told me that one time in a meeting. Amen. But it says in the scriptures, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I'm from a little town, one stoplight, 1,150 people. And to think,
excuse me, brother, we got to get some kids out here. Y'all go ahead. They're practicing a play back there without a hype of them right now. Those little kids, they're practicing their Christmas play.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Sorry about that. But now I'm from a little country town, a little small town, and this is the way I put it. If you are what you were, then you ain't.
Amen.
Amen. Now that's terrible grammar. But great theology, amen?
Yes,
now I sing this. I like to clean up this guitar a little bit, like God cleaned my life up.
You know, it's in the scriptures, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remissiveness in it. Amen? Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, declaring his righteousness for the remission of sin.
Amen.
Through the forbearance of God. Amen.
Well,
it's a bad backslid. I've said this, you be Baptist born, Baptist bred, Baptist fed. When you die one day, you be Baptist dead.
Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Amen.
Mine is. I believe it's written in blood. Thank God for that scarlet thread. Amen. One dark night down in Egypt, fearful time had come for a young Hebrew boy who was his father's firstborn son. The angel of death soon passing through. He was hard to fall asleep. One little lamb stood in his mind as he lay there counting sheep. He wondered why the young lamb had to die. Why the blood was on the door. Through the wind and rain, did it still remain? He wanted to be sure. So the angel of death, soon passing through, It was hard to fall asleep. He said, son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. Wind may blow and the rains may fall, but it just won't wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Say it's secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there. Look, you know, raw, the damage the storm had left behind, a flood of endless questions, doubt had filled my mind, the fear that gripped my troubled soul brought me to my knees in prayer, crying, Father, please, will you look and see if the blood is still there? He said, son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The winds may grow and the rains may fall, but it just won't wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there. Say it's secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there.
Brother Randy, man, using his talent for the Lord there. That's good. He'd been through it too. We did a skit one time. Somehow or another, we had it. Oh, I forgot what I was doing. I had him come up out of the crowd playing that Back in Black. Yeah, the Bionic Baptist was there. Oh, my goodness, them kids went crazy. They went crazy. He was. We did one at the camp one time where he was, I'd do something, he'd do something, I'd do something, he'd do something. So I can, it was a blessing. It hits a lot of young people. You see that difference in that music? Feel that difference? You can't tell me there ain't a difference. These people say music don't matter. It's just words. They're either lying or mighty dumb. Or both. They're lying or dumb because music does matter. I tried to tell somebody the other day, they said, boy, that song, it's got a kind of a wild beat, but it's got good words. I said, the music and the words are supposed to say the same thing. Because music talks, and the words talk. But, you know, you can't say, you know, it can't be like, Jesus, I love you. You know, like, yeah, you know, that ain't right. I mean, that ain't right. You got the words and the music got to say the same thing. And that's a blessing. All right, come on up here, ushers, right quick. We're going to take up our regular Wednesday night offering. Everybody get ready to give. Come on, let's honor the Lord tonight and do what we're supposed to. God will bless you for it, if you will.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give tonight. Honor the Lord. He'll bless you for us. Let's stand, please. Everybody standing. Honor God. Do the right thing. He'll bless you for it tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to. I hope they're good. Here one says, my name is Brianna, something like that. Brianna. I just want to say my life was amazing. About a year and a half ago, I was planning on to marry the man of my dreams. I got saved watching one of your preaching videos on YouTube. And you've become a hero in my life. Hallelujah. I stopped cussing, drinking, listening to bad music, hanging out with old friends that were no good for my life. I completely changed my life around. With saying that, my boyfriend did not like the change, and he left me. What a blessing. We got in an argument one day, and he never came back. It was the worst day of life, and I ended up drinking and falling back on everything. I hear God's call constantly, and I know he's reaching out to me, but I'm scared my life will go back again if I fall apart again. I am now working and getting on my feet, and I and my ex are talking or whatever. He and his new girlfriend put me down constantly. Bless her heart. I really do want to find God, to be around people I love and love God and his presence. I watched the video that changed my life was called It's Not Too Late. That was a youth rally a year ago. It was about the Illuminati and a few people who tried to get in the secret society and worship the devil. I'm telling you, you're a gift from God. I don't know if that's the same person. Life would probably not be much worse than it is now. I live in Ohio, so it'd definitely be a trip to plan, but it'd be nice to meet the preacher who changed my life and need to get it right again. Amen. Y'all pray for that lady. Never heard of her. Let's pray the Lord will help her, and there's millions and millions just like that. All right, let's take a few minutes here tonight, and I want you to take your Bible, and we won't turn to any exact scripture right now, just hold it handy there tonight. And I'm going to go to Texas next week and preach out there. And I'm not going to preach tonight. I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes. I've been asked, as I do have every year, about Christmas. Somebody hit me up with it the other day. And every year since I've been preaching, you know what I'm saying, man? It's all right. Every year, people ask me, how far should a Christian go with Christmas? It's just like everything else. Some people go overboard one way or the other. You got some people who absolutely embrace and follow the what we call pagan part of holidays, Christmas. And then you got some people go the other way and refuse to celebrate it at all, like Jehovah Witnesses, for example. And the reason Jehovah Witnesses don't celebrate Christmas at all is because their religion is so dead, they got to have something to believe in. And so they just go ahead and do that, saying, boy, we're taking this big, brave stand against Christmas. However, it's hard to argue with them on a lot of their points, because they make good points. Because there is a lot about Christmas. There is a lot about Christmas as we know it that don't have nothing to do with God, Bible, or nothing. Now, here's my stand, and you know my stand always has been. I take a logical, scriptural, level-headed view. I try to of everything. You might meet some people smarter than me. You might meet some people more spiritual than me. But you ain't going to meet many people that's more level-headed than I am. And because of all I've been through, the Lord's helped me level out on a lot of things. I know preachers that split their churches over stuff that the Bible don't even say. And that's dumb. And then I know some that's so liberal, let anything go, that God don't even want to hang around it. So, you know what you got to do? You got to take this book and you go straight down the middle of the road. And we view everything through the lens of the Scripture. Everything. Everything I believe and everything I try, by the grace of God, to do it through the lens of the Scripture. What saith the Scripture? A man said one night, he said, well, there ain't no verse in the Bible says you're supposed to celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's right. He's absolutely right. There's also not a verse in the Bible that says you're not supposed to.
man told a preacher one time, he said, I had this hit me one time. Man said, you don't have no scripture for going to the altar. There's no scripture in the Bible where people went up and went to the altar in the New Testament. He's absolutely right. That's true. You also have no scripture for pews or chandeliers or air condition or driving a car. There's no scripture to support that at all. As a matter of fact, there are no church buildings in the New Testament, right? There's no such thing. They didn't have church buildings in the New Testament. They met in houses or just out in the woods somewhere. But I mean, it's like the book of Acts, when they got so many people, they had to have deacons. They chose them. That had never been done before. So you adapt as things change. You don't go against Scripture. Yeah, so, I mean, we have 350 people here Sunday morning. We can't meet in anybody's living room unless we buy Michael Jordan's house when it comes open. When they bidded it off the other day or going to or something. I ain't got a living room big enough for 350. I've had probably 100 in there before. But nobody else here does either. So there's no scripture in the Bible that says you're supposed to have a church building with a steeple on it. That is not scriptural. But it is also not unscriptural. Now, when we think about Christmas, you got to look at it like that. I preach for a preacher out in Texas every year, and he got up there and went in, and he said, you ain't got one of them bale bushes in your house, do you? He calls my Christmas tree a bale bush. Because there's some, you know, there's a lot of paganistic, historical thing. And I said, yeah, I sure do. Am I a compromiser? Now, he had lights around his house. He'd put up Christmas lights like them, but wouldn't put up a tree. Because that tree was a bale bush. And I said, brother, as long as you're not bowing down to it or worshiping it or thinking it has some kind of supernatural power, then I said, I got two trees in my living room. Everybody knows been to my house, though. And they got these white lights on them, and they're all year long. Not just at Christmas. I like them. I like that, like that, like them right there. And I got one lit right now, and you put it in there, and I just like them. Is that a bale bush? I don't think so. I bet your TV's probably a lot worse than a tree. Amen? Probably is, I'd say. This same preacher stays on the computer 2 hours a day. I reckon that internet's probably worse than that tree, don't y'all think? Which one you think would cause you to sin more, that or the internet? I think so. But you got to be careful about stuff like that. Be careful about getting off on stuff that don't matter. Amen? And so one time said, well, I don't believe in buying Christmas presents. I don't come. And he's too tight. That's his problem. He didn't want to spend no money. But tonight, we're going to look just a little bit about Christmas and its beginnings. And this might help you here in the next few weeks to keep a balance. That's your key. Balance. Speaking the word love in truth. Speak the truth in love. And the commercialism of Christmas, of course, is absolutely ridiculous. That Black Friday thing last week, that beat anything. That beat anything that I've on the news. I watched a little bit of it. You know, they have at Walmart, they have all these things like these Xboxes and things, and this big thing's got this plastic wrapped around it. And all these people is there waiting on it to get 6 o'clock. And somebody comes over with a razor blade and goes, and cuts that thing. And I'm telling you, brother, you think you was in Vietnam. I mean, it breaks loose. People pushing and screaming. Somebody pulled a knife on. There's this one woman beating this guy in the back of the head, beating him. And one, did you see that one where this girl had another girl slung her down by her hair and then had a taser and paid her right there? That's a Christmas spirit, ain't it? That's a Christmas spirit, brother. where in the world did that come from? Oh, you know, Silent Night, Holy Night. I'll tase you to get my Xbox. That's crazy. That's crazy. We've got off base somewhere in this country. But it's turning into big money. It's fascinating to me that the world preaches separation of church and state, separation of church and state. No religion. Boy, when it comes Christmas time, they want to cash in on that, don't they? They want to cash in on that. It's like
It's like they say, no church and state, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. Son, getting this, and that ain't in the Constitution, by the way. There ain't no such thing as that. And they don't even want Christians running for office because they believe that's mixing church and state. And but when Hurricane Katrina hits, and all the churches, Ralph Sexton and all them, they accepted that. Somebody ought to jump up and say, nope! Separation of church and state, let the government fix like Katrina. But they took help from all them churches. You know what? There's a word we have for that. It's called hypocrisy. It's called a double standard. They don't want us in politics because they don't want us, our beliefs in there. But they'll take our money, and they'll take our help, and they'll take our young people going out cleaning up the community. Separate the church and state. All these churches shouldn't be out on Saturday helping keep the community clean. Amen? Anything we can't stand, it's hypocrites. But anyway, that's what they say. That's what they all say. Anything I can't stand, it's hypocrites. Well, anyway, let's talk about Christmas here a little bit tonight. You may not agree with everything I believe about Christmas, and I may not agree with you, but as long as we're not against Scripture, then we're okay. There's a little room there to disagree on some things. Christians shouldn't fight over things the Bible don't say anyway. Lord, there's enough in there to keep you busy 24 hours a day without making up a bunch of stuff and adding to it. So, even Christians getting the big arguments, you know, and Lord have mercy, getting big fusses. I know you've probably done this. You go out there and say, why are you writing her something? Well, you know old so-and-so. Everybody's got this brother-in-law they all hate, you know, or old aunt so-and-so. Is she going to be there? Oh, Lord. I guess we'll have to buy her something. They'll talk. That's the real Christmas spirit. And buy her a box of candy. I ain't spending no more than $5 on her. I hate her anyway. And they get it, wrap it up, and get it home. Don't even remember whose is whose. We spent more on your mama than we did my mama. Well, that's because my mama gave us this trailer. Well, I don't care what she done for us. Your mama, I hate your mama. Yeah. Well, listen, that ain't no Christmas spirit. That is no Christmas spirit, people. I mean, when you fuss and fight and can't even remember whose gift is who, and that ain't the Christmas spirit. I try to go down my road. I go down to Hoppy Tom, and year before last, I took everybody a box of candy or something and knocked on their door, about all of them, give it to them, and it shocked them. It shocked people that you'd just knock on their door and give them a Christmas present. We hope to plan on going Christmas caroling here in a couple of weeks. And it's fun. It's fun to get out and do something for others. It is more blessed to what? Give than receive. Not many people believe that, but it's true. Right quick, let me give you this, and we're going. I'm not going to hold you. How did we come about December 25th? Anybody that knows much knows Jesus almost 99% sure was not born in December. More than likely, April. We'll talk about that later. April, March, April, May. Ancient people worship the sun. Back in the Old Testament days, they worshiped the sun, the S-U-N. They were sun worshipers. Well, everybody knows that. And they thought that the day is getting shorter, like right now. It was dark at 5:30 today, and they thought the sun was dying. They said, our God is dying. Our God is dying. It's getting cold. He's going away earlier and earlier and earlier. And then about the last of December, things turned. The days started getting longer. They said, the sun is coming back. He's resurrected. It's the return of the sun. S-U-N. And so it was a pagan holiday to worship the S-U-N on December 25th. Now, the days grew longer. People thought the sun would come back. And they held festivals to worship him and honor his return. They lit candles and had bonfires. Do you know what a bonfire is? Bonfire is bon, B-O-N, that's bones. They use the bones of dead Christians and stuff and throw them in and burn them. Bonfire is what it is. And they burn these things to welcome the return of the S-U-N or the rebirth of the S-U-N. And they held a week-long festival called Saturnalia to honor Saturn. Nobody worked except cooks and bakers.
Schools and businesses shall close. The soldiers would lay down their weapons. Buildings were decorated with evergreens, costumes, and people went through the streets carrying trees. In Scandinavia, they had a Yule time, Carol? That's the same word as J-O-L, jolly. Jolly old Saint Nick and all that. The early Christians started celebrating the birth of Jesus, and what the Catholic Church would do, here's what the Catholic Church does, they still do. The Catholic Church goes to any country and they'll merge Christianity with the beliefs of that country and split it so you don't have to give up your idols and your gods and you can still be a Christian and come with us. If you don't believe that, go to Haiti. And Haiti, tonight, the national religion of Haiti is Catholicism and voodoo. Who would believe that Christianity and voodoo could even exist? It does in Haiti. It's Catholicism and voodoo mixed together. You don't have to give up your religion. So what they done, they went to these people and said, look, Jesus died. He rose again. He's a son, S-O-N, of God. And since we're going to worship him, you don't have to give up your old pagan feasts and holidays. Let's just make his birthday, S-O-N, the same as the S-U-N birthday, and call it December 25th, and we'll call it Christmas, Christ Mass, a Mass to honor Christ. What it is. It's a Mass to honor Christ. Everywhere you go, they mark out Christ and put Xmas. That's awful. That's blasphemy. You know what we really ought to do? Mark out the Mass and just leave Christ. Ain't that right? We don't need the Mass. We need the Christ. Fully on the Mass, brother. They'll mark out Christ and put Xmas. Merry Xmas. Now they won't even say Christmas. It's not even politically correct now to even say Christmas because it's got Christ's name in it. That's a pretty powerful name that they can't even say. Amen. All these people that believe in freedom of speech and tolerance get mighty intolerant when it comes to Jesus. The people that talk the most about tolerance are the most intolerant people in the world. What they mean is we're supposed to tolerate their junk, but they can't tolerate anybody that disagrees with them. That's what they mean. Say amen, that's right. That's right. Well, anyway, they adopted December the 25th, and they had feast, and then, there we go. All the old legends started springing up. Let me ask you this. Would your Christmas plans change if the Lord came and spent them with you? Probably would. You know that little poem in the road, it was the night before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse, and whooped to the mile, looked outside and Santa Claus come, and a whole bunch of stuff like that, you know. There's a poem of that brings that point home real quick. If Jesus were to come spend the holidays with you in the flesh, would it ever change some plans? We'll talk about that in one of the messages here before Christmas. All right? Right quickly. Here's where we go our separate ways. They will celebrate the birth of Jesus? Fine. They want to honor the Lord? Glory to the newborn King? Silent night? Fine. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King? Okay. We can live with that. Telling kids there's a fat man that flies through the air and goes to everybody's house in one night? We take the other road. And that's where people get mad at us. Oh, you're taking all the fun out of it. No, you're not. One day said, a man asked me one time, he said, don't you tell your kids there's a Santa Claus? I said, no. He said, why? And I said, because there ain't one. That's a lie. Every year I get up and say, Santa Claus is lying. Mothers back in the church grab their kids and hold their ears and everything else. No, I don't want them to find out. Listen, there's something wrong with you if you can lie to your kids with a straight face. I never told my kids that the tooth fairy was going to leave money under their pillow. For two reasons. Number one, because there ain't no such thing as tooth fairy. And number two, if I put money under their pillow, I want the glory for it. I mean, I want them to come and thank me and hug my neck. I don't want them to open up all their presents on Christmas morning and say, boy, Santa Claus, you sure was good. Santa Claus, my foot. I worked hard all year for that. To pay for that. Hug my neck. Amen? I ain't got time to get into a big long thing. Santa Claus has replaced Jesus as the central figure of Christmas, and that ain't right. It's idolatry. You know what? You know where he comes from? North Pole. That's where Jesus is, the north. White beard. Look at the picture of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. Eyes like fire, white, come through the sky. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He's omniscient. He knows everything. All kids will tell, you better be good. Santa Claus is watching you. That's a lie out of hell, brother. You better tell them Jesus is watching them. Amen? I told my kids, that, everybody told me, they said, that'll warp their personality. I said, that ain't going to hurt them. As long as they get them presents, they couldn't care less where they come from. I told people, my kids' personality's warped, but that ain't what done it. It's all the hell we went through trying to pastor church. Anyway, I come that close to believing in Santa Claus one time. I was always real skeptical. When I was little, I thought, oh, come on now. Ain't no way. We don't even have a chimney. How's he going to get in? I remember, and one time mom said, now I'm going to leave Santa Claus some fruit cake and coffee, and we'll see if he drinks it. And I thought, all right, I'm going to get up more and see if he eat that. Well, of course, you know, they went in there in the middle of the night, ate about half of it, and Daddy drunk the coffee. And so the next morning, I went running in there, and sure enough, half that fruit cake was gone, coffee's gone. And they said, well, he ate it. And I thought, man, you reckon he really did come? Then I was running there and started playing with toys. I thought, I don't care. As long as them toys in there, I don't care if Marilyn Manson brought them. I wouldn't care as long as I got my toys. And that's what people say, oh, you'll take all the fun out of it. No, you won't. You get them kids some toys and have a good time, enjoy the Lord. That's okay. That's scriptural. Giving gifts is scriptural. Giving gifts to honor the Lord's birth. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen? People say, oh, you're partaking in a pagan holiday. No, you're not going against scripture if you buy me something for Christmas. Amen? Amen. That's scriptural, brother. Hallelujah. We're blessed to get out on TV preachers. They get on there and beg for money and beg for money and beg for money. One guy got on there, he said, God will bless you 100-fold if you'll send. I thought, well, brother, won't you send me some money then if he'll bless you 100-fold? They're always wanting you to send it to him. I told him one time at church, I got up and I said, look now, y'all, there's hundreds of you. I can't buy all y'all Christmas. There's only one of me. There's hundreds of you. However, there's hundreds of you and only one of me. Amen. Preach it, brother. I'm going to preach that Bible whether you like it or not. But anyway, Santa Claus has stole the glory. And I'll tell you this one little illustration, and I'll let you go. Years ago, when I first got saved, everybody was getting saved. Everybody in Nebo was getting saved. I mean, revival swept through there, people getting saved right and left. One night, there was a girl about 13, maybe 14, and she was a shy little girl, and everybody's trying to get her to come to the altar. They was back there in the back, and they was begging her, and she was saying no, and they was begging her, and she was saying no, and they was begging her, and she was saying no. And I hadn't been saved in about 6 months. I got saved in April, and it was Christmas, so maybe 7 or 8, something, 7 months, something like that, 8. And I stood there, and we were all wanting that girl to get saved. And man, I'm telling you what, they looked at her and they said, why won't you get saved? And finally, she looked back at one of them and she said, I'll tell you why. She said, all my life when I was little, they told me there was Santa Claus, there's Santa Claus, there's Santa Claus. And then when I got bigger, they told me there wasn't one. She said, now everybody's telling me there's Jesus, there's Jesus, there's Jesus. When I get older, am I going to find out that ain't true? And man, I'm telling you, that hit me and I thought, whoa, that's the danger of a white lie. Ain't no such thing as a white lie. There ain't no such thing as a harmless lie. A lie is a lie. And I don't get around the heart and beat people over the head. I don't judge you. If you don't have any picture of Santa Claus, go ahead. I don't care. I'm just telling you, when it comes right down to it, we need to teach our kids the scriptural Christmas. And, you know, I'm not a fanatic. I don't go overboard and, you know, go when I see him at the mall, go push him off his chair or something. I mean, let him do what he wants to. It's free country. But do it right. Have the right kind of Christmas. God will bless you for it. Let me make old Santa Claus. He takes on all the attributes of Jesus. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He sees everybody in the world at the same time. He's omnipotent. Somebody figured it up. Somebody figured it up and they said, to go to every house in the world in one night, Santa Claus' sleigh, he would have to run like, oh my goodness, it was unbelievable, like 85,000 miles a second or something. His unbelievable speed that he had to go, if he could go to everybody's house the same night and stop and put toys in it. But anyway, one kid one time, Brother Tolley said, you better behave, Santa Claus ain't going to stop and give you no presents. And she said, well, ain't he going to stop for you? That's my tie, hear that? I'm in a Christmas spirit. You missed it. I'm a ventriloquist. It's got a little Christmas carol in there. But anyway, let's do it right this year. Let's enjoy Christmas. Let's get our friends here to the Christmas play. I found out we can use this time of year to get people to come to church that you can't no other time of year except Easter. So ain't no use fussing and raising Cain about it. Just use it to get people saved. And God will bless you for it. Anybody got a question? Right quick. I think maybe you're an adult here tonight and you just found out there's no Santa Claus. I'm sorry to have to break it to you like that.